Okay. We're up to Membeis Omer Aleph, the bottom, Mishnah. For ilfas v'hakdeira shevir miroschim, an ilfas and a kdeira are a pot or a pan that are directly on the fire, and you took them off the fire, so it's a kli rishon shelo al gabi ha'esh. Lo yitein l'tochen tavlin, so you can't put spices into it. Avol nosin hu l'tocha ka'ara or l'tocha tamchoi, but you can put them into the ka'ara or a tamchoi. They're a klisheni. The pot that you cook in, or the pan that you cook in, then you empty that out either into a serving bowl, right? Or you empty it out into a plate. So either of them are a klisheni. So then you can put the spices into a klisheni. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'kol hu nosein chutz midover sheyesh bo chometz tzitzir. Rabbi Yehuda says you can put the spices into anything except for something that has vinegar or fish juice in it, because that causes it to cook faster. And the Gemara is going to discuss what Rabbi Yehuda is going on. Is Rabbi Yehuda going back on the Reisha, or is Rabbi Yehuda going on the Seifa? Is he being machmir, or is he being mekel? Let's see Rashi. Shavira min ha'or, you took a kli rishon off the fire, miroschin bein hashmashos, or mirusochin, it was what you called. You took it off the fire and it's still hot. So then, lo yitein l'tochen tavlin mishatechshach, when Shabbos comes in, you can't put spices into a kli rishon off the fire. The kli rishon calls man shiroseach mevashel, because the kli rishon, as long as it's hot, is mevashel. Hot meaning that it's yad soledes bo or more. Okay, so from Rashi it would seem that kli rishon off the fire is only mevashel if it's yad soledes bo. Okay, but if it's not yad soledes bo, then there's no problem. Even a kli rishon off the fire, if it's not yad soledes bo, you can put whatever you want into it. The Ritva holds that a kli rishon even off the fire, even if it's not yad soledes bo, you're not allowed to put anything into it because of the gzera, because maybe you'll put it in when it is yad soledes bo. And there's a Magen Avraham who brings that also in the name of Yerushalmi. And the Taz holds that that only applies to a kli rishon that's on the fire, where it's not yad soledes bo. You have a kli rishon on the fire, but it's not yad soledes bo. It's also usher to put anything into it, because we're afraid that you'll put it in when it is yad soledes bo. But the Taz holds that if the kli rishon's off the fire and it's not yad soledes bo, then you could put things into it. And the Magen Avraham holds that if it's like the Ritva, that if it's off the fire also, even if it's not yad soledes bo, into a kli rishon you can't put anything. Okay, there's a Beis Yosef, what? Right, yeah. The Beis Yosef and the Taz hold that, it's an interesting shita, they hold that a kli rishon that you took off the fire, that cools off a little bit, even though it's yad soledes bo, has a din of a kli sheni. It only has a din of a kli rishon while it's still very hot as it was on the fire. But if it cooled down a little bit, even if it's yad soledes bo, it's a din of a kli sheni. So those are some of the differences of what's it called, of a kli rishon or whatever. The maisa, a kli rishon that's off the fire, that's not yad soledes bo at all, doesn't have any din of bishul halacha, and a kli rishon that's yad soledes bo off the fire has all the din of a bush bishul. You can't put anything into it. Okay, we'll see. Not shouldn't say anything. We'll see. Maybe there are exceptions. Okay, lo yitein l'tochen chavlin mishatechshach, the kli rishon calls man shiroseach mevashel. The Rashi says the kli rishon, as long as it's still hot, is mevashel, and therefore you can't put anything into it, even off the fire. Avol nosin hu l'tocha ka'ara, the kli sheni ain mevashel, because the ka'ara is what you empty the kli rishon into. Tamchui ke'ein ka'ara gedola. Tamchui is a serving bowl. Shema'ara kol ha'ilfas l'tocho. Right, the ilfas, which is a pan, you empty into a serving bowl, and from there you put it into plates. So once it gets into the serving bowl, it's in a klisheni. Or, what's it called? A ka'ara is, you put it directly onto the plate. You took it from the pot and put it in the plate. The plate's also a klisheni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lakol, Bigmar Meforish Ahaikoi. The Gemara will explain what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to. Akli Rishon or Akli Sheni? Is Rabbi Yehuda going back on the Reisha that you can't put Tavlin into a Kli Rishon? But Rabbi Yehuda says that's only if there's Chometz in Tzir, but if there is no Chometz in Tzir, then you can put even into a Kli Rishon. And or no, he's going on the Seifa. You can put into a Kli Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says no, you can only put into a Kli Sheni if there's no Chometz in Tzir. But if there is Chometz in Tzir, even a Kli Sheni you can't put. That's the Shaila Gemara is going to have. Iboy Elohu. Rabbi Yehuda Areisha Koi Ulekula Aldil Maseifa Koi Elohum. What we just said is Rabbi Yehuda going back on the Reisha, and he's being Nekel, and the Reisha says you can't put spices into a Kli Rishon, period. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's only if there's Chometz and Tzir in the Kli Rishon. But if there's not Chometz and Tzir, you could put spices into a Kli Rishon. Spices don't cook in a Kli Rishon, and doesn't look like cooking because it's not cooked by itself. It's just to spice up the thing that's there, and therefore it's mutter. Is that what Rabbi Yehuda meant? Or Rabbi Yehuda's going on the Seifa. Right, the Sefer says you're allowed to put spices in a Kli Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda says that's only if there's no Chometz V'tzir. If there's Chometz V'tzir, even a Kli Sheni can cook up the spices because the Chometz and Tzir help it to cook faster. Areisha Koi A Ilfis the Ko Osir Tanakama the Ko Amr of Yehuda the Chol Ilfisin who knows saying the Kli Rishon Mamavashu. So Yehuda going back on the Areisha saying that you could put spices into any Kli Rishon unless they have Chometz V'tzir. Odil Masefakoi, Akoara, the Tamkoi, is going on the Klisheni. The Koshori Tanakama. The Tanakama says you can put spices into a Klisheni. The Koomer Le Rabbi Yehuda, the Cholak Ka'aros, the Tamkhuyim Odin, I agree with you. In all situations, Chutz Midover Shiesh Bochomets, except if something has vinegar or fish juice in it, Batilu Klisheni Nomilo, then even a Klisheni could be Mavashel Tavlin if it has, if there's also vinegar there. Okay, Zemar says, Sover of Yosef with name, 1 second. Toshma. So now we're going to have to see what in fact Rabbi Yehuda said. The Tanya, we have a Braisa that says very clearly what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lechol Ilfasin, who knows saying, Lechol Hakdeiros Roschos, who knows saying, Chutz Migover Shiesh Bochomets Vitzir. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda was going on the Reisha and the Kula. Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it comes to Tavlin, even a Kli Rishon is not Mavashal Tavlin, unless it's if it's off the fire, unless it's what's it called with Chometz and Tzir. Okay, let's go on. And Aloch is not like Rabbi Yehuda, nice. Okay. Sover of Yosef and Neymar, Nela Haruka Tablet. Rav Yosef originally held that salt is the same as all other spices, meaning that the Kli Rishon the Shela, that in the Kli Rishon, right, the spices are Asur, and so is salt, and the Kli Sheni lo b'shela, and the Kli Sheni, you can put salt into a Kli Sheni, just like you can put Tablin into a Kli Sheni. Okay. It's, from here it's clear that Rav Yosef did not hold like Rav Yehuda. Right? Because he says clearly that Tavlin you can put into a Kli Sheni but not into a Kli Rishon. Omer le Abaye, Tani Reb Chiya. So Abaye said, we have a Braisa from Reb Chiya, Melach eino ketavlin. Right? Melach is not like other spices. Did the Kli Sheni nomi b'shela? Melach can be cooked even in a Kli Sheni. Okay? Melach cooks even in a Kli Sheni. It's an exception. Who pleaded the Rav Nachman, and that argues on Rav Nachman, who holds just the opposite. The Omer Rav Nachman, Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kedisra de Torah, Melach needs cooking. In other words, you Melach can't be cooked unless it's cooked like a raw ox meat. In other words, it takes a lot to cook up salt. Salt doesn't cook quickly. Okay, so Menela, what's it called? We'll see that Rav Nachman holds you can even put salt into a Kli Rishon. Because it's very difficult to cook salt, and therefore salt won't cook unless you have it on the fire, mamish. And we'll see, there's even a sheet that says you can put salt into a pot on the fire. But salt doesn't cook. So it needs cooking like ox meat. So this what's it called, the original what Rav Yosef held, was that what's it called, salt is just like other tavlinim, cooks just as easily as other things. Kli Rishon is osur, Kli Sheni is mutter. and that argues on Rav Nachman, who holds that salt doesn't cook easily at all. The Ika D'Amri, Sover of Yosef, some learn differently. The Rav Yosef originally held differently. The Ika D'Amri, Sover of Yosef, Lameimer, Melech Haryuka Tavlin, that Melech is like Tavlin, the Bikli Rishon B'Sheila, Bikli Sheini Lo B'Sheila. Originally, Rav Yosef held that salt is like other spices, that it cooks in a Kli Rishon and it doesn't cook in a Kli Sheini. Amar Le Abaya, Tani Rav Chiya, Melech Eino K'Tavlin. The Bikli Rishon Nomi Lo B'Sheila. Melech is not like a Tavlin. That even in a Kli Rishon it doesn't cook. Rahainu Domer Rav Nachman. That's like Rav Nachman. Tzricha Milcha B'Shula K'Vishra Tzura. Now, according to this, right, Rav Yosef, and what's it called, will come out like Rav Nachman, okay, and the Brice of Rav Chiya also will come out like Rav Nachman, okay. Rashi, the Bikli Rishon Nami Lo B'Sheila Umutar Litein Afilu Bikli Rishon Mishaviro Min Hor, and you're allowed to put salt according to the Lishna Basra, right, into a pot, a Kli Rishon that's off the fire, but on the fire Rashi also can't put it in because it looks like Bishul, right? When it's on the fire it looks like you're being Mavasha. But off the fire, then the problem is only, is it mavashal or not? Salt isn't mavashal in a Kli Rishon off the fire, and therefore you're allowed to put salt, according to the second Lashon, in a Kli Rishon off the fire. Okay, a few things here first. First of all, there's a Tosfos here. I'm not going to go into the Sugya, but just to mention it. Tosfos says, from this Mishnah, you can't learn the halacha of Irui Kli Rishon, what it is. Shaila, you know that a Kli Rishon has certain dinim, Kli Sheini has other dinim. Kli Rishon is mavashal, Kli Sheini is not mavashal, with exceptions. Okay, so Shaila is pouring something from a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheini. Okay, what din does that have? It's out of the Kli Rishon, but it's not in a Kli Sheini. Right? You learn that, what's it called, one of the svaras why a Kli Sheini is not mavashal is because the walls of the Kli cool it down. But here there aren't any walls of the Kli. But there aren't any walls of the Kli of a Kli Rishon. In other words, why is a Kli Rishon Mavashal? Because the heat of the walls keeps the liquid hot. And therefore, what's it called? It cooks in a Kli Rishon. So if you pour out of a Kli Rishon, so there's no heat of the walls anymore, Mamela, so it has a din of a Kli Sheini. Or no. Is the reason a Kli Sheini is not Mavashal is because the walls of the Kli Sheini cool off the liquid. But as long as it hasn't gotten into the walls of the Kli Sheini, it's still a Kli Rishon. Okay, so some hold Iri Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon. When you pour from a Kli Rishon onto something, it's mamish like it being in a Kli Rishon, and it's mavashal. That is the shita of the Ri. The Rabbeinu Shmuel holds that it's like a Kli Sheini. When you pour out of a Kli Rishon, the thing that's being poured already has a din of a Kli Sheini, and Tosfos himself says it's not like a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheini. Right? It's not like a Kli Sheini because it's mavashal kedei klipa, it doesn't cook the whole thing, but it cooks the outer surface, and it's not like a Kli Rishon because it doesn't cook the whole thing. So it's not a Kli Rishon that doesn't cook the whole thing, it's not like a Kli Sheini because it does cook the outer surface. So it's three sheets, there's an Iri. One is Iri is like Kli Rishon, second one is Iri like Kli Sheini, and the third one is it's like neither of them, but it's Mavashal Kedei Klipa. Okay, that's Iri. Okay, now, second thing, who do we paskin like over here? There's two Lashonos by Melech, right? Does Melech worse than other Tavlin, or Melech is what's it called exactly like other Tavlin? Those are the two Lashonos. So it's a very interesting Tosfos here, just the Yesodistika Tosfos. He brings down that three different shitas of how we paskin throughout Shas when there's an Ika D'Amri. There's two Lashonos. Which Lashon do you paskin like? Right, the cloud. So he brings like this. Rashi holds that whenever there are two Lashonos in Shas, the Gemara says one way, then it says Ika D'Amri, some say like this, right? When it's Dvar Torah, we always paskin L'chumra. And when it's Dvar Midrabanan, you always paskin like the second, like the Ika D'Amri. Like Lishna Basra, that's Rashi Shita. Rashi Shita is lahalach. The way we paskin in the Gemara is when there's a machlokus and something that has to do with the Torah, then you always go after the machmir, whichever lashon is more machmir. When it's something that has to do with the Rabbanan, then you go after the second lashon. That's Rashi Shita. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's irrelevant which is the first lashon or the second lashon. If it has to do with the Torah inyan, you always are machmir. If it has to do with the Rabbanan inyan, you go after the lashon's more makom. That's Rabbeinu Tam. And the Riva holds that where it's from the Torah, you go after the machmir. In that everybody agrees. And where it's midrabanan, you always go after the second lashon. The opposite of Rashi. There's three different shittas. What? No, you always go after the first lashon. The opposite of Rashi. Rashi always go after the second lashon, and the Riva holds that the first lashon is the ikur, and the ikur the amri is tougher, therefore you always pass like the first lashon. Okay. Here Tosfos says, according to everybody, no matter what you hold, here we paskin like the second lashon. And the reason is because according to the first lashon, Rav Nachman and the Braisa argue. The second lashon makes peace between Rav Nachman and the Braisa, and therefore it's better that Rav Nachman should hold like the Braisa, not that Rav Nachman should argue on the Braisa of Rav Chiya. And therefore, la halacha, says Tosfos, the halacha is that melech you're allowed to put in a kli rishon that's off the fire. That's the halacha, that you're allowed to put melech into a kli rishon off the fire, mikra adin. The Meiri holds that not only can you put melech, like Rashi says, into a pot off the fire, you can even put melech in a pot on the fire. Melech doesn't cook even on the fire, and it's not nefzik kavishul, because you're not cooking the, it doesn't look like you're cooking the salt. You're putting the salt in as an auxiliary to what's in the pot. There's no nefzik kavishul. Ritva paskins like the first lashon. That's also to put salt even in the klisheni. Okay, so we have a machlokas rishonim who we paskin like over here. Tosfos holds you paskin like the second lashon, and the Ritva holds you paskin like the first lashon. And Tosfos himself says that even though I paskin like the second lashon, and really meikur hadin, you're allowed to put salt in a kli rishon off the fire, right? But somebody who's machmer not to put salt afilu into a klisheni, tavol bracha, as long as it's yatzal lezpah. Now Tosfos also brings down over here another chumrah, and that is our Mishnah is only talking about tavlin. What about regular food? Okay, tavlin you can put into a klisheni, you can't put into a kli rishon. What about regular food? Can you put regular food into a klisheni? So Tosfos says it's only tavlin that you're allowed to put directly into a klisheni, because tavlin is not nefzik habishul, like we said, just like salt. There's no idea that it looks like you're cooking the tavlin. Tavlin is an auxiliary thing. But if you put regular food into a klisheni, right, it's nefzik habishul, and you're not allowed to put it directly, it's nirik in mavashul, you're not allowed to put regular food into a klisheni. You can put into the kli and pour from a klisheni on it, or you can put it into a klishlishi. But a klisheni you can't put it in, okay? And some hold that everything's like tavlin. You can put anything into a klisheni. So machlokas achron rishonim, really, whether you're allowed to put things except for tavlin directly into a klisheni, or no, in a klisheni, even though it's not mavasha, it looks like bishul, and you can't put things into a klisheni. The Urayim has a shita here that it really doesn't make a difference, kli rishon, klisheni. What makes a difference is what the food is like. There are things that you can cook that will cook in a klisheni if they're very soft things, and there are things that won't cook even in a kli rishon if they're very hard things, like we saw, salt. That's why I cook in a kli rishon. So it really depends on the thing, and therefore you shouldn't put anything into a klisheni, because we're not bekiyim what things cook in klisheni or not. Therefore you shouldn't put anything in a klisheni, not because it looks like bishul, because it may be bishul. There are things that can cook. It's not a cloud gauntlet, klisheni is not mavashul. Klisheni is not mavashul most things, but there are things that are cooked in a klisheni. Kli rishon cooks most things, but there are things that even in a kli rishon won't be mispashal. Since we're not sure, you can't even put things into a kli sheni. That's a shita say Urayim. And not only that, he holds that there are things that, if what's it called, that can even be cooked in a kli shlishi.
The things that can be cooked in a kli sheni, why don't you always have
mefzik
mavashal by kli sheni?
What?
Why don't you always have mefzik mavashal by kli sheni?
No, because it'd be that anything that's not on the fire is not mefzik mavashal. Right, because people don't cook normally in things that are off the fire. So that klal of nefzik and mavashal applies on the fire, and it's machlokas rishon whether it applies to anything off the fire of the klal. Okay. The Chazon Ish brings down a Rambam that makes another chilek, and the Chayyadim holds like that lahalacha. The Chazon Ish doesn't hold like that, and that is there's another chilek. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni are only relevant by Yad Soledesbo, but not more than that. Anything that's Yad Nichvesbo, if it's really hot, right? It's not just Yad Soledesbo. It's not just hot enough to pull your hand away, but it's that your hand will become scalded. Really hot things are mevashel even in a kli emeya. Right? It doesn't make a difference how many kalim it is. Only Yad Soledesbo, there's a difference between kli rishon and kli sheni. But Yad Nichvesbo is cooks in everything, and therefore, and the Chayyadim says that that's the halacha. Okay, and the Orach HaShulchan holds like that's the halacha. Therefore, the people who make tea in a kli shlishi does not satisfy these shitas, because tea is usually with scalding water. It's not just warm Yad Soledesbo water, right? It's really hot water, tea. And therefore, according to these shitas, it could be in a kli meya. And besides the fact that tea may be mikali abishal, it may be those things that are easy to cook, right? Like the Gemara held in the Lishna Kama about salt, that even in a kli sheni it could be cooked. And then, like we saw the urayim, even in a kli shlishi it could be cooked. So therefore, even though, according to many rishonim and achronim, right, once you have a kli shlishi, it's not mevashel, and it makes no difference how hot the water is, right? Lamaisa, since there are shitas that hold that either it depends on how hot the water is, and therefore the kalim are irrelevant once it's past Yad Soledesbo, or like the urayim, it depends on the how easy it is for that thing to be cooked, right? The type of thing. Therefore, it's a good idea not to be somech on doing things in a kli shlishi or whatever, unless you're sure that they're not from things that are mikali habishul. And therefore, it's better to make tea sets or whatever, not to rely on this heter of making tea in a kli shlishi. Where's Yad Nichvesbo? Okay, that's not halacha. Okay, right. The challah and soup is a different problem altogether. That's bishul achar atiyah.
What does
that mean? What sort of bishul they're talking about? Salt doesn't change. It melts straight away. It dissolves straight away, and then it doesn't change after. That's a shaila. What could be that water? What's bishul of water? Water for sure, Mavash. What's the change? So there is a change. I will venture without him. What's his name? Right, Usher's not here. So, but there is when you heat up water, right? There's some kind of ionization, right? The ions of the water change. Okay, so there is a chemical change, even just heating things up, right? That you can't see. And the truth is that, in some way, right? Hot water, cooked water, right, makes coffee or tea better than water that's not cooked. It's not just the heat. There's something about the water that's easier to mix things into it. So the same thing with salt. Could be that there's a chemical change that goes on in the salt. Could be not. It could be that that's the machlokas, whether that chemical change is called a change, and therefore that's bishul, or no. That by salt there's no change, therefore there's no bishul. We had it before, by shemen. Right? The sheet of it by shemen, there's no bishul. Right? Because there's no change. So exactly. It doesn't change at all, and therefore there's no bishul by shemen. Even in the kli rishon, that's what we had the day before, the day I came back, whatever, we're talking about that sugya. So in any case, it's not clear exactly what kind of change. It's not a change, it's to the eye. Okay, let's go on. Mishnah. Ein nosnin kli tachas haner lekabel bo es hashemen. Okay, so we're finished now with bishul. Now we're going to halachas of muktzah. You can't put a kli under the lamp lekabel bo es hashemen, to receive the shemen that gets spurted out of the lamp, right, by the when the candle burns, so some of the oil doesn't burn and drips down, and you want to catch that oil. The im nasnuam, so on Shabbos you can't put a kli under the nair to catch the dripping oil. Okay, and we'll see that the Gemara has two reasons why. Either because you can't move around the kli on Shabbos except for the sake of something that you're allowed it to move around. But you can't move a kli for something that itself you're not allowed to move around. The shemen in the nair is mukta, okay? And therefore, what's it called? For two reasons. One, it's mukta because if you take the shemen out of the nair, you're putting out the nair. It's kibbutz, right? Taking shemen out of a burning candle on Shabbos is kibbutz. It's also mukta because it's hukta l'mitzvaso. That shemen was made for the mitzvah of what's it called? Nair. And therefore, you can't use that shemen for anything else. And that's not only when it's in the thing, even when it's dripping out of it. As long as the candle is burning, that shemen is hooked to the mitzvah. You can't use it for anything else. So, therefore, while the candle is burning and the oil is dripping out, you're not allowed to move a kli to catch that shemen, because that shemen you can't move. You can't move a kli except for something you're allowed to move. You're moving the kli for the sake of something you're not allowed to move. Second reason is, you're mevatel kli mehechano. The shemen that goes into that kli, now the kli becomes not movable because it has something in it that's mukta. So you can't move the kli. And so making a kli immovable on Shabbos is awesome for one of two reasons. One reason Rashi says in one here is because it looks like binyan. It looks like you're making the kli connected to the ground because you can't move it. So it's like binyan. It's like what's it called? Making the kli immovable is like connecting it to the ground. Another place Rashi says it's like stira. It's like you're taking the kli and destroying it because you can't use it anymore. You're making a kli unusable on Shabbos is domel stira. So one place Rashi says nevatel kli meichano is a din of stira. The other place Rashi says it's a din of binyan. And next amud, when we get into this sugya, we'll discuss where each one applies. In any case, so that's the Mishnah. See Rashi, ein nosin b'Shabbos kli tachas haner lekabel bo shemen hametaftet. You can't put a kli under the nair to receive the dripping oil. Mishum de shemen muktzahu. Shemen is muktzah. Ukesaver ein kli nitl b'Shabbos aletzaver tzaruf dovran nitl. You're not allowed to move a kli on Shabbos, even a kli that's not muktzah, except for the sake of something that you're allowed to move on Shabbos. But you can't move a kli for the sake of something that you can't move on Shabbos. Inami, or another possibility. Kesavar also levato kli mehichonav. Lahoshiv kli b'makom shlo yuchal od liklo misham. You can't put a kli somewhere where, by putting it where you're putting it, you won't be able to move it anymore because it'll become muktzah. Okay? Tahavi ki koveya lo makom u'mechabro b'tit. Because it's similar to connecting it to the ground. Because now, even though physically it's not connected to the ground, but spiritually it's connected to the ground, because halachically you can't move it. So it's similar to binyan. The dami lemalacha ukli zem mishiyipol bo hashemen hamukta yiasa lataklo. Once the shemen that's mukta falls into the kli, you won't be able to move the kli, and therefore, what's it called? You're making the kli as if it's immovable, which is like binyan. Mutar lahanicham sham. What's it called? However, if you put it during the day, then it's mutter to put it there. It's okay to put it on Friday, but a ne'usim imenu l'fisheinu min amuchan. But you can't be nehena from the oil, right? Tosfos says you can't be nehena from the oil, even the oil that is out of the nair, because that is what's it called? The mukta, it's huktzah l'mitzvaso, as long as the candle is burning. Once the candle goes out, you could really use the shemen that came out. So only usher as long as, according to Shimon, who doesn't hold the mukta, right? But that we'll get to. But in any case, that's the way Tosfos learns. As long as the candle is burning, you can't use the oil that's in the kli. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda, afal pi she'amru ein nosin kli tachas tarnegolis lekabel beitzasa. Even though the Chachamim said you can't put a kli under a chicken in order to receive the egg that it's going to lay, because the egg is mukta on Shabbos, right? They should know the yontif or the Shabbos is mukta. So what's it called? You can't put a kli under the chicken to catch the egg. Avol kofa leha kli shelo tishaver. But you're allowed to put a kli over the egg so it shouldn't get broken. In other words, once the egg is laid, you're allowed to take a kli and put it over the egg to protect it from getting broken. Omar Rabba, my time at Rav Chisda. So Rabba said, what's the reasoning of Rav Chisda? If you can't take a kli to catch the egg, why is it okay to take a kli to put over the egg? Hisavar tarnegolis asuya lahatl beitzasa biashba the ain asuya lahatl beitzasa b'makom madra. Okay, he holds like this. Normally, chickens lay their eggs in flat places, right, like in a garbage or whatever. But they don't lay it on a incline. Bahatzala mitsuya hitiru, bahatzala she'ena mitsuya lo hitiru. They were matir to save the egg in something that's normal, that's usual, but not something unusual. See Rashi. What are you doing? You're putting a kli to catch the egg, right? So it shouldn't roll down the incline and get broken. Because maybe it'll fall down the incline and get broken. So you want to catch it in a kli so it won't roll down the incline. What in the world does this have to do with our Mishnah? It's like putting a kli under the nair to catch the oil. You're putting something under the chicken to catch the egg. Both are muktzah, right? Here you're not allowed to do that. Here, even though you're not allowed to do it to save the egg from falling down an incline, you're allowed to take a kli and put it over the egg. Okay, I will call for that kli. Below tema ain't kli nitl elitzor davar nitl. And you shouldn't say the reason in the Mishnah why you're not allowed to take a kli on Shabbos and put it under the lamp to catch the oil is because of the second reason. Ain't kli nitl, the first reason, ain't let Rashi brings down. Ain't kli nitl elitzor davar nitl. Don't say that's the reason. Because if that's the reason, you wouldn't be allowed to take a kli and cover over the egg either. Because you're taking the kli and moving it for the sake of something you're not allowed to move. That's not the reason. The reason is because what's it called? And in that situation doesn't apply. Why? Because in the normal situation, right, a chicken lays its egg on a flat surface. So that's a normal situation. In that situation, to save the egg, you're allowed to move a kli and put it over it. Right? Then we don't say ain kli nitl ela dovra nitl. Hatzala, the Rabban were matir to be matzel the thing from destruction if it's a normal, in the normal situation. But if you want to save the egg from something abnormal, chickens don't usually lay their eggs on inclines, so you want to save it from an abnormal situation, there they weren't matir to move a kli l'tzorech dovra sheno nitl. They were matir to move a kli l'dovra sheno tzorech nitl to save the thing from a natural situation, but not from an unnatural situation. V'hatzola mitzuya hitiru l'taltel kli l'tzorcha v'afal pi sh'abdeitz dovra sheno nitl b'shabbos. When do you say ain kli nitl ela d'dovra ha'nitl? Right, that's where it's not hatzola mitzuya. But if it's Hatzala Metsuya, they were matir to take a kli and move it for the sake of something you can't. But if it's Hatzala She'ena Metsuya, they weren't matir it. Okay, She'ena Metsuya, you go Madron, the Tiftuf Teshena, the Masnisa. Right? And what's it called? What's considered Hatzala She'ena Metsuya? What's an unnatural, not usual situation? So the case of the chicken with the incline is an unnatural situation, unusual. And in our Mishnah, the Shemen dripping off the what's it called the lamp is also called unnatural, unusual. Now why? The Chara Tosa says it's usual for a shemen to drip off an air, right? But since it's so usual, it's usual to put a kli there from Erev Shabbos. It's unusual that people don't put a kli there Erev Shabbos, not to do it on Shabbos. So that's called Hatzola She'ena Metsuya, because it's not usual that people don't have a kli there from Erev Shabbos already. Okay. Rashi, Avasi Gemara, Eisvei Abaye, the Hatzala she'ena mitzuya lo hitiru. They weren't matir even Hatzala that's not mitzuya, even an unusual thing. If it's gonna, the thing itself may get ruined or lost or whatever, they weren't matir, right? Like the sake of the shemen or the case of the egg on the incline. But Tanya nishbar lo chavis shel tevel barosh gago, right? If you had a chavis, and Rashi has a girsa of tevel, which is muktzah. Right, because you can't do anything with it. So you have a barrel of tevel that got broken, and it's on the roof. Maybe kli, and now everything is dripping down. It's tevel, let's say it's wine or whatever. So maybe kli, or meiniach tachteha, right? And you're allowed to take a kli and put it under it to save the tevel from getting destroyed. Lechora, that's hatzala she'ena metsuya. Right? It's not normal for barrels to break. So it's an unusual thing, and still you're allowed to move a kli for the sake of something that's muktzah. Okay, Mara says begufi chaviti the shchichi the paki. It's talking about new barrels that usually break, right? Where they haven't been tempered or used yet. A lot of times they crack, so it's a usual thing. It's not unusual. Eisvei nosen kli tachas aner lekabel nitzotzos. Even though you can't put a kli under the lamp to catch oil, but you can do it to catch the sparks so they don't light your tablecloth. Okay, Mara says nitzotzos mamishchiched. No, nitzotzos are usual. There is usual to have sparks, and Tosus explains the sparks are usual, but not as usual as the oil. The oil is so usual that you should do it Erev Shabbos. Nobody doesn't put a kli to catch the oil Erev Shabbos, and if you didn't do that, it's unusual. But people don't think about the sparks Erev Shabbos, right? But they do think about the sparks on Shabbos. It's usual, but not so usual that you do it Erev Shabbos, therefore it's considered usual on Shabbos. But the oil is so usual that you normally take care of it Erev Shabbos, so it's unusual that it's not taken care of if it's Shabbos already. That's considered unusual, Rashi. Chavish shel tevel garcina. The Tosfos says a gerusa, not tevel. It's not chavish shel tevel. It's a chavish sam, the stuff in it. The Tosfos holds that if you hold that it's usher to move a kli from hatsala she'ena matsuya, it's usher even something's not mukta. It's a sam, a tircha on Shabbos of saving something that was not usual, the rabbanon asked because of tircha, even if it's not mukta. Nothing to do with mukta. Even if the thing is not mukta, you can't save something on Shabbos that involves tircha if it's not a usual thing. But Maisa Rashi holds it's a halacha of mukta, and that the halacha is because of ein kli nitl elo tzorach dover nitl, and that applies only where it's not hatsala, or the hatsala is ein matsuya. Maybe kli apal gav the tevel dover sheno nitl hu, the chavis lo shricha, the paka. It's not usual that barrels break, and the tevel is mukta. So the chara, why should it be mutter to move the kli to save the tevel? Gulfi chavios. But in new barrels, it's usual that they should break. The people should understand. People should take into consideration that they would break. Nosen in kli masnisen here mosiv lamina. The kli that you can put under the lamp to catch the sparks. That's a mishnah. Nitzotzo shall heves hanotefes min aner. Little sparks, little flames that spurt off the candle. Kadeshlo yidlok mashatachtel. No, it doesn't burn your tablecloth. The apagav nitzotzos lo metalkli lo shchichet. And nitzotzos are not shchia, and they're not and they're mukta. Mara says no. Nitzotzos are not lo shchia. They're shchia. That's a normal thing for sparks to fly off the candle.